Billie Eilish, you've probably heard of her. She's a 20-year-old American singer and songwriter. And she wrote a bucket list when she was 12 years old. And Jimmy Kimmel this past October had her on his show, and they were discussing her bucket list. And so some of the items on her bucket list that she's already experienced include ziplining over a city, going to Paris, and working with animals. And during the show, Jimmy Kimmel decided to help Billie achieve more of the items on her list and check a few more items off. And so one of the items on her list was to cut someone's hair. Remember, she wrote this when she was 12. And so Jimmy invited someone from the audience to come onto the stage, and Billie cut her hair right on the stage during the show. And another item on her list was that she wanted to punch someone in the stomach. And so Jimmy Kimmel, being so kind, just let Billie punch him in the stomach just so she could check that item off as well. And some of the items that she still has yet to experience include growing her hair down to her legs and riding a dolphin. And so I don't know if you have a bucket list, and if you do, I wonder what items you have on it. I do have a bucket list, and I've been checking some items off, but punching someone in the stomach just wasn't one of those items so far. So Elizabeth Scott, she's an American psychologist and author. She wrote an article a year ago in December about the benefits of a bucket list. And so December 2020 was a hard month for many of us in North America with so many restrictions, right? And all the uncertainty and fears. And she wrote in this article that it can be helpful to have a bucket list because this might help us to prioritize making time for things we enjoy and for activities that we find life-giving. And so now, a year later, of course, we find ourselves facing increasing restrictions again and still some uncertainties and some fears. And this has just a hard season for many of us in our community. So there are different types of bucket lists, and sometimes bucket lists include really fun adventures like Billie Eilish had on her list. And sometimes bucket lists include goals, things that we might want to learn about related to education or our career, you know, maybe learning a new language or other areas of growth. And then sometimes bucket lists also include deeper longings or deeper desires in our lives. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at Scripture and we're going to look at someone's bucket list in Scripture. And this man's name is Simeon, and he was living in Jerusalem around the time that Jesus was born. So people in the Jewish community at that time were living in their homeland, but they were living under Roman rule, which was many of them felt it was very harsh and oppressive. And so that's kind of the context of Simeon's life at that time. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And so we've been celebrating Christmas and the birth of Christ. And here in this text, we see that Mary and Joseph took the infant Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple there, to have him dedicated, as according to their Jewish law. And while they were there, Simeon was living in Jerusalem at the time, and he was waiting to see the consolation of Israel, the Christ child. And this was his bucket list, so to speak, this desire that he had to see the Christ child, before he was born. And according to tradition, Simeon became known as the God receiver because he received the infant Christ in the temple. And so this is a painting that I think someone might show. A Russian artist prepared this painting. It's depicting Simeon holding the Christ child. And so I was watching Elvin hold his beautiful child a few minutes ago. You know, I wonder what it was like for Simeon to hold the Christ child. And I'm going to read something from a Byzantine hymn, which describes what this experience might have been like for Simeon. Simeon the elder is filled with joy today, receiving into his arms the eternal God as an infant. And so I do wonder what it would be like to hold the eternal God as an infant in my very own arms. And while you and I, we don't have this option or this possibility or opportunity to physically hold a Christ child, we do have the opportunity to see him in a sense and to receive him as well. When I was a child, my parents took me to church almost every Sunday, to Sunday school, and I'm so thankful for that community and how I learned about scripture there and how I learned about the ways of God through that community as well. But while I was going to church all those years, for the first 18 years of my life, I didn't ever really understand what it meant to have a personal relationship with God. It was something that I didn't ever hear or understand, and I didn't even realize it was a possibility. And then after I was married, my husband and I started attending a different church where they talked about this idea of having a personal relationship with God quite a bit. And I remember when I was about 23, I remember the pastor saying that, you know, if we ever wondered what it was like to have a personal relationship with God, or if we wondered how to do that, he just encouraged me and others there to pray to God and ask for that. And so that's what I did. I remember that day during the sermon, and when I got home, I just prayed to God and asked him to show me how to have a personal relationship with him. And God has answered that prayer for me through the years. It's been a gradual process, but I find so much joy in seeing Christ in a spiritual sense and in enjoying a personal relationship with him. I wonder if you've also seen this artwork by Rembrandt, which is called Simeon in the Temple. I wonder if you can picture yourself in that painting holding the Christ child. I wonder if there's a sense that you've seen Christ spiritually, and I wonder if you feel like you have a personal relationship with him. And if not, I encourage you just to pray to God and ask him for that. And I know that many of you have seen Christ spiritually, and I know that many of you do feel that you have a personal relationship with him, but maybe you would like to welcome him into your life afresh in this Christmas season. And if that's the case, I also encourage you just to pray to God and ask for that as well. We know that we just read about how Simeon followed the Spirit's lead and followed the Spirit's prompting and went into the temple at just the right time, you know, when Mary and Joseph were bringing the infant Christ there. And there's wisdom for us as well to follow the Spirit's lead as we are seeking to see Christ for the first time, or if we want to see him more clearly. There's a verse in the book of James that I find encouraging. It says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you." And so there are a variety of ways that we can seek to come near to God. Right? We can come near to God by enjoying the beauty of his creation outside. We can come near to God through worship gatherings and through scripture and prayer and conversations with friends. There's so many ways. Recently, one of my favorite apps to use is called Pray As You Go. And it's a daily prayer podcast, which includes beautiful music and scripture and guided prayer. And so when I'm listening to this app, this is one way that I seek to come near to God. And while I do that, I find that he also comes near to me. Also recently, one of my favorite books to read is called Seeking God's Face, and it's been compiled by Philip Reinders. And this is a book that Pastor Ken encouraged some of the pastors at 10th to read a couple years ago. And so this is a morning rhythm for me. This is one of my favorite books. I just read it in the morning. And this book includes portions of silent prayer, guided prayer, and scripture as well. And so in this morning rhythm, this is one way that I seek to draw near to God, and I find that he draws near to me as well. And so, of course, God is always with us. His presence is always with us. But sometimes when we seek to draw near to him, we might experience more of his presence, and we might be able to experience his love in our hearts more deeply as well. And so if we look back to that very first Christmas season, in the text that we just read a couple minutes ago, we remember that when Simeon saw the infant Christ, he was filled with joy. And remember how he said, "You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And so, you know, what does it mean that when Simeon was holding the infant Christ, what does it mean that he saw the salvation of God? And so in salvation, there is this vital connection between Christ and life. And I'm sure you've heard this, or you've probably heard this verse from John 3, which is also what we celebrate at Christmas. In John 3, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." And just a few chapters later, also in the book of John, Jesus explains a little bit more about this eternal life. Jesus explains that eternal life is, it's an everlasting life, but it's also a quality of life that we can experience now. So a little further in John 17, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus is saying that eternal life is knowing him. And the Apostle Paul also wrote about the value of knowing Christ in Philippians, in the letter to the Philippians. And this is a letter that he wrote while he was in prison. Paul wrote, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." And so we're seeing that salvation includes eternal life, which is knowing God, and which Paul describes of being of surpassing worth. C.S. Lewis wrote something about this as well in one of his books. He wrote about how God often gives us really enjoyable experiences and adventures, which can be life-giving and encouraging. But he also says that these life-giving and encouraging experiences are not our true home, and they don't satisfy our deepest longings. So C.S. Lewis wrote in one of his books, "Our Father," so this is God, "God refreshes us on the journey with some pleasant inns, but will not encourage us to mistake them for home." So Lewis is saying that adventures that we might put on our bucket list or other various activities that we enjoy are like pleasant inns or like hotels on our journey. They can be refreshing and life-giving, but they don't satisfy our deepest longings, and nor are they our true homes. I know someone who has quite an extensive bucket list, and he's very adventurous. And so he loves to bike, he loves to mountain bike, and so he's been mountain biking, you know, on the rugged slopes of the North Shore. He's also done a bit of traveling, so he's done some mountain biking in Arizona and California, which has been fun for him, checking a few items off his bucket list. He also loves to hike, so he's been hiking in the lower mainland and in Utah and in the Grand Canyon, you know, with its breathtaking views. He's learned how to surf in the sandy beaches of California, and he's been to Europe and Asia, traveling there. And yet, he's still feeling unsettled and a little restless, and putting more things onto his bucket list and wondering if these will lead to a sense of peace and satisfaction. And another friend of mine went to UBC to become an engineer, and he was working here in the Lower Mainland as an engineer for 4 or 5 years, and then he was unexpectedly let go one day, and this was unexpected, and he didn't see it coming, and he found it very distressing. And it also took him quite a while to find another job in his field that he enjoyed. And so this was about 2 years ago, and he was explaining to me that on this journey, even though it's been hard, he's been realizing more and more how important his relationship to God is to him. And so over these past 2 years, he's been really leaning into drawing closer to God by attending worship gatherings, by participating in his life group, and looking to scripture and in prayer. And he shared with me a little while ago about how he is realizing now that his relationship with Christ satisfies his heart more than his career does. And so education and careers and enjoyable activities that we might put on our bucket list, these are gifts from God that we can be thankful for. And they do refresh us, and they can be life-giving, but they aren't our true home. Our true home is in God and in our relationship with Christ. And like Paul said, our relationship with Christ is of surpassing worth. Karl Barth wrote it like this. He said, "When any of us looks to Jesus Christ, a momentous change takes place. A great and enduring light brightly dawns on such a person. Such a person experiences joy in the midst of his sorrows and sufferings. And it's not a cheap and superficial joy that passes, but it's a deep-seated, lasting joy. Such light and joy are ours when we look up to him, to Jesus Christ." You know, and in this holiday season, you know, we often hear that it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it's not the most wonderful time of the year for everyone, and sometimes the season can be hard, and some of us might be experiencing various challenges or hardships in this season. And it's good for us to remember that Simeon, remember, he found joy when he saw Christ, even though at that time he was living under the rule of Rome, which many considered to be harsh and oppressive. And remember how Paul said that he found his relationship with Christ to be of surpassing worth. And while he was writing those words to the Philippians, he was actually in prison at the time. And remember how Karl Barth said too, that even in the midst of our sufferings and sorrows, as we look to Christ, we can find some light and joy in him. And so whatever season you find yourself in, I encourage you to look to Christ for the first time or yet again. And this is something that remains on my bucket list. I desire to grow deeper in my relationship with Christ. And I know it's going to probably be a process. It might take some time. I might have to wait sometimes, like Simeon had to wait as well. But it's worth it. So if you have a bucket list, I wonder what is on your bucket list. And whether you have a bucket list or whether you don't, what are you deeply longing for in your life right now? Remember that a relationship with God is what satisfies our hearts, and that's our true home. And a relationship with Christ is of surpassing worth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we look to you this day, and we thank you that you give us this opportunity to know you and see you. We thank you that you are our true home, and you love us so much. We do pray, God, that each person here would see you and see how great you are. We pray that each of us here would have a relationship with you, and that we would grow deeper and deeper in our relationship with you as well. We pray, God, that you would guide us by your Spirit. And if there are any steps we can take to draw close to you, we pray that you'd show us what this is. And we trust that you will also draw near to us. Fill us anew, Lord, with your light and life and joy. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.